why do we coach in sports? Let's find out. Hello and welcome to our first podcast. I'm Stu.
And I'm Chris.
And I'm an ex-professional tennis coach. I still keep my finger in.
By day, I'm a chartered physiotherapist in the UK. And at weekends and most evenings, I'm coaching my kids in sport, whether it's rugby or cricket. And so I would describe as an amateur grassroots coach. Tell me, how did you become a coach? What was your story? What was your journey here?
Well, let me think. That was maybe 30 years ago. I think I did a basic Lawn Tennis Association qualification.
Yeah.
It's just a weekend course. That's all you could do when you're sort of 16. So that's the main governing body for tennis coaching in the UK.
You guys who do Wimbledon, isn't it?
Yeah. Tennis wasn't my strongest sport, but it was something that I enjoyed. It was a way to earn money by being outside. And basically, you're fundamentally playing a game.
Yeah.
You're getting paid to play a game and sort of pass that enjoyment on to others.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what better way to...
Yeah, as human beings, as kids, and actually as also adults, we love playing games.
Yeah. I mean, I think early on, I did realise the drawbacks of being in this country and not getting paid when it's raining.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And this is England, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean,
it does rain.
If you're teaching basketball or swimming or something, then your quid's in, aren't you? You're guaranteed you're sat here. It's like... You open the curtains in the morning and think, oh, please be sunny.
Unless you're a rugby coach down in Devon.
Yeah.
So to summarise your coaching journey, you started at 16 and it gradually built there. You went to America, you went to Australia, you got some PTR coaching qualifications.
American-based, professional tennis registry.
Yeah, really, and seen really worldwide. Mm. And you've really coached a lot of, I would say, high level, and you were very modest and very high level tennis players over your time. And it's something that you've really enjoyed doing.
Mm. Chris, you obviously got into coaching through, you know, being interested in sport growing up.
Yeah, I loved my sport growing up. But yeah, I wasn't very good at it. You know, I was quite a good swimmer, but I wasn't a good rugby player.
No, but you enjoyed it. And probably the team element. Became a chartered physio.
That's right, yeah.
You know, you were obviously involved with a championship level football side at one point.
And we got to the playoff final, but we lost that game though.
Yeah, but that's,
we'll move on quickly
nothing
from that.
To do with you. I know now you're still developing your coaching awards in various sports.
Yeah, that's right.
So in a way, you're sort of exploring new avenues, but within your sort of area of expertise.
And I would say the difference with me, certainly growing up, you know, 42 now, is that it's that concept of spending my time with my children, which is really nice, you know. So actually, if they enjoy their sports, you know, I'm involved there. I'm not just standing on the sidelines or dropping them off. You know, I'm there. Is there that concept of actually helping to, you know, promote the values of the game? I could be looking at my own kind of deep core values. Mm. You know, I might have that competitive element. So actually, do I want to kind of have my influence, have that governance on the type of coaching my kids are doing?
John, who was sort of, my tennis coaching mentor in my early 20s.
And the mentor of Peter Jones from the Dragon's Den.
I remember him saying that his sort of philosophy was to develop well-rounded individuals, which I think, especially at that age, is what's important. Because that attitude you carry into different areas of your life, not just the sports, you know, every aspect.
Yeah, and I love that. We're almost becoming a bit of a Ted Lasso here. You know, we're not developing a team to win or players to be the best players, but actually the most rounded, you know, individuals. And we could look at the values of lots of sports and, you know, we just choose rugby. You know, they've got key core values, which is teamwork, respect. Mm-hmm. And there could be respect of the game, but respect of, you know, the other people and the officials.
You know, brushing on that point, it's funny how different sports sort of encourage different levels of respect, isn't it? Some people are very, I mean, look at the end of a tennis match or whatever, you know, they're shaking hands and, you know, they're going to shake hands with the umpire and other sports where they're effing and blinding the whole way through. And
And that's one of our podcasts later on when coaching goes bad. I think we're going to touch on some of that. But going back to those values of probably, you know, why we're coaching is because we enjoy those values of teamwork and that respect, that enjoyment. But probably that discipline of being a coach, you know, having that lesson plan sorted out. You know, what are we trying to do? What's our aims and objectives? And the type of kind of lesson or coaching format we're going to do. We're going to make sure it's active, don't we, as coaches? Mm. You make sure it's purposeful. What's the point of doing something in sport which is not personal? You've got to be safe. which is really key. We don't want our kids, you know, these kids we're coaching or sports men and women coaching, you know, falling down with injuries. But also, most importantly, it's got to be enjoyable.
Yeah. And obviously, we have to bring in the sort of relationship we have with the, you know, the parents as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And how, you know, how they're included in it, because that's important as well, isn't it? You have to wear different hats, you know, with the kids or the parents. And obviously, I prefer a fez. And I guess because you're into your cricket, a bowler.
Oh, love that. Love that. Fundamental relationship with the other children's parents, which has got to be key. You've got to get them on board. And it's got that management sometimes of the parents. You know, they might have a very pushy parent that you're just trying to just calm them down a bit, or a parent that actually just drops the kid off. And actually, from a safeguarding point of view, you want them to watch their child play the sport, because that's probably what the child wants, that enjoyable aspect.
You have to look at the realistic sort of expectations of what's going on, don't you? Whether this person potentially is going to maybe make a living from it. Which, let's be fair, in most sports is incredibly unlikely.
Yeah. And if you've got a really pushy parent
who's quite disillusioned about the whole...
Yeah, or you might have a parent who thinks their child is the next Roger Federer or the next... Well, we'll go talk about Johnny Wilkinson. It's the Owen Farrell. Yeah. You'd sometimes just have to say, well, they're only 10 years old.
Yeah.
Let's just make sure, most importantly, they're playing the game. But for me, as a coach, is making sure that they're enjoying playing that game.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've got all those values that encompass. So they're showing that high levels of sportsmanship or that spirit of cricket or that teamwork ethic.
Yeah, because we'll talk about talent spotting at some other point, won't we? And sort of what ages you kind of get a good idea.
Oh, that's one of our future episodes, I think.
Yeah, benchmarking those things, yeah.
Yeah, but the hats is a really important thing. So, you know, I am a physiotherapist. I've been a physiotherapist, since 2002 I qualified. So if I am coaching, I'm there as a dad to my two boys, Ethan and Tobes. I'm there as a coach, you know, going through the tactics and their gameplay, whether it's rugby or cricket. I'm there, you know, to be that, you know, that almost that go-between for the parent and the child. So we've got that management thing. But I'm also there as a first aider. And you'll have other coaches wearing different hats as well. So certainly in rugby and cricket, we talk about that safeguarding aspect. So we might have a coach who's got a specialist role as a safeguarding aspect to make sure actually the setup is that has that highest level of safeguarding, so we're keeping everyone safe. So there'd be certainly different aspects as well. And Stewie, I know when you're in tennis, there was different hats you would wear.
So say you take on let's say, for example, Djokovic comes to me.
Yeah.
Because this might happen, mightn't it? You're not there to give endless technical advice. They're beyond that point. It's more tactical and mental stuff.
Yeah.
So you've kind of, I mean, you can, you can't blag it, but you don't actually, you know, that's all in place already by the time they come to you. So there's a lot more, in a way, it's easier to see what you need to work on, because when you're bringing someone through and nothing quite works as well as it can do, you're needing to work on everything. You can't, if you just work on one thing, then everything gets left behind. Yeah, so you have to constantly balance it. And I think that can be a lot harder.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of people don't get through to the top ranks in sports, because of weaknesses.
Subscribe to our podcast so you know when the next episode's on. And tell your friends.
I mean, they say tennis and golf are the most technical sports. I don't know if that's the case. It sounds like it could be.
I think golf is really technical. You know, you've got woods, got irons, got pitching wedges,
nice bags,
great bags.
Yeah,
I mean, as well.
Obviously, golf, a static ball, all the time. And then, I mean, apart from when it's moving and you're not hitting it, tennis, you're always hitting a moving ball. So we should talk about this in one podcast about whether it's easier to hit a static ball or a moving ball, because that's quite interesting. In you know, a lot of sports like baseball, cricket. So obviously, a lot of coaching tennis to a decent level is looking at technical aspects. And we were talking about coaching people to become well-rounded, especially, you know, young kids and that. But also, as we've mentioned off air, people that tend to excel at certain sports generally are not well-rounded, and that is why they've excelled. And interestingly, a lot of them aren't particularly orthodox in some aspects of their technique, which is funny because if you're not careful, coaches iron out what physically their body is comfortable doing.
Overcoaching. So as a coach, we're not just wearing our separate hats, such as first aiding hats or parent hats and the coaching hat. But as a coach, we might have that concept of being a game or a play-based coach, but then you've got that technical aspects of coaching.
Mm.
And, you know, your tennis coaching is, you know, it's like you said, it's a very technical game. So as a tennis coach, how much would you say was that balance between the concept of play with your people you're coaching and that concept of technique? Where would that balance be, do you reckon?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because people say, I'm just going to go and hit a few balls or go and practice. So a lot of it's down to muscle memory. But if you're repeating an incorrect technique over and over, that becomes ingrained and then it becomes harder to change. So, you know, as long as, I mean, if someone's come to you to be coached, it's different. If someone's been pushed off to you, you know, you're sort of a creche for tennis.
Yeah.
Then that's different. But if you're there to coach and improve people, then I think it's important to pick up on those little incorrections as quickly as possible.
But in a format that actually the person you're coaching really enjoys it. So that play format.
That's
right.
I mean, what's tricky is if someone is doing something incorrect and you're in the process of correcting it and it's going wrong over and over, they get disheartened. But you're right, you just have to have the right approach in the right way for each individual, and it can be different, can't it? That's where individual coaching is important, because everyone needs to be approached slightly differently. And if you're just addressing a group, then everyone's sort of compromised in the coaching that they're receiving.
So in rugby, so when I do my rugby coaching, and the RFU are big into this, making sure that all your coaching is active, it's purposeful, it's enjoyable, it's safe. So we'll always have a game zone going. So they've always got that concept of play. So that could be tag rugby, or it could be a 5-versus-5 type of rugby format. But also we then have a separate skill zone as well. So, so we have that concept of that technical aspect as well, but we'll try and do that session hand in hand. So we'll have a game zone running, maybe with 3/4 of these players in the team, and a quarter will be outside of that game zone doing this high level technical skills. And then we'll try and rotate those players. So the end of that coaching session, they've got that technical input, but they've also got that play input.
I mean, I have a theory, not for sport, but for anything in life that requires a bit of skill and talent, that the majority of people at the top of the ladder are not the best. It's just that they've persevered, or they've been pigheaded, or, you know, just had that drive. Whereas other people where, I don't know, maybe if they've just got the natural talent, so they feel they're not particularly having to work, they just haven't got the same sort of attitude to what is interesting. But I think that's true for a lot of areas in,
I think that's also a bit down in business as well, isn't it, sometimes? Mm. So we're coming to the end of our first episode, Stewie.
I've loved it.
It's been great.
So you got into coaching for your kids, to be around your kids, and sort of to instill certain values and attitudes.
You've had a great kind of tennis coaching history. And, you know, hearing your story about starting off as a teenager, coaching in Australia and America with some fantastic climates. But we've both kind of touched on the facts. It's that concept of play, coaching games. And that's probably as adults, we're in our 40s now, why we've both still coach, because we just love the concept of play and the concept of games.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to retain that sort of element of fun as you get older, isn't it? And I think sport is something that, even as a spectator, allows you to retain that sort of playfulness within.
Yeah, and because if we're not enjoying ourselves playing a sport, what's the point of doing it?
What's the point of anything, Chris?
Absolutely. So that's a great way to finish off today's podcast. As you look out the window, can you see my bus?
I can see your coach.
Oh, very good. So our next session, our next podcast is talking about, how do we gauge success as a coach? Is it down to winning? Is it down to the amount of qualifications you might have as a coach? Is it down to the numbers you've got in your teams?
Is it down to the development of the individuals you're coaching?
Yeah. So I can't wait for that session. Thank you so much.
Absolutely great. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, and enjoy your sport and enjoy your coaching.